Yes, I lead. You repeat after me. Panatipata Virmani Sikabadam Samadhyami Adina Dana Virmani Sikabadam Samadhyami Abrahmacharya Virmani Sikabadam Samadhyami Musawada Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Sura Miraya Majapama Datana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Vikala Bhojana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Najya Gita Vadita Visuka Dasana Malaganda Vilepana Dharana Mandana Vibhusana Chana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Ujjayasayana Mahasayana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Apamadena Sambandita. This is a Amabandhi. You should see in English translation later on. It's a my great pleasure to meet all these pious meditators, keen who are keenly interested in meditation here in this retreat. Our retreat will last 10 days, as you know. So, today, this is the introduction talk. I will go to the practical aspect of meditation right away. In the following days, I will explain to you the theoretical aspects of meditation. Most of meditators are experienced meditators. There may be very few or a couple of big beginners. So this is, as you know, mindfulness meditation retreat. Vipassana meditation retreat. In this retreat, we will conduct the technique of meditation of the Mahasi tradition, which is expounded by the Buddha, as in his discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, the four foundations of mindfulness. Then here, first of all, we should know what vipassana means. Vipassana is a combined word or compound word. Vi is a one word, passana is the other. Vi here means various characteristics. It refers to the three characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena, namely anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, no soul, no self, and impermanent nature of the existence. Vipassana means right understanding or realization. So when the two words are combined or compounded, vipassana means realization of impermanent suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and no soul, no self, and impersonal nature of a bodily and mental phenomena. So only when we are able to realize These are three characteristics. Impermanent suffering, impersonal nature, or no soul, no self, and impersonal nature of mental and physical phenomena through our direct experience of a body mind process. We are on the path of vipassana meditation. But it needs some degree of concentration of mind. Without reasonable degree of concentration, none of a meditator realize any mental or physical phenomena in their true nature. So, vipassana meditator needs to attain some reasonable degree of concentration and the insight into mental and physical phenomena. To have these two important mental factors, meditator must be mindful of any mental states or physical process as they really are. So it's about mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness, as you know, is a sati in Pali. That mindfulness can be powerful by strenuous effort. So we need strenuous effort to put in the practice. When the effort becomes a powerful, mindfulness becomes a constant, continuous, and sustained. When mindfulness becomes a continuous, constant, and sustained, then the concentration becomes deep. When the concentration becomes deep, there arises the insight knowledge that penetrates into three characteristics of existence: impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of a body mind process. When you have attained the insight into these three characteristics, the mind is purified from defilements to a large extent. Then you live in peace and happiness. But this is not the goal of vipassana meditation. You have to proceed with your practice until you have thoroughly realized the Four Noble Truths. As you know, the truth of the suffering, the truth of the cause of the suffering, the truth of the cessation of suffering, and the truth of the way leading to the cessation of the suffering. When you have realized these Four Noble Truths, you became enlightened. Then you have uprooted some of mental defilement, which are the causes of the suffering. When you have attained all the four stages of enlightenment, you have completely uprooted all mental defilement, negative mental states, which are the causes of the suffering. So suffering ceases to exist here. Then you have liberated from all kinds of suffering. This is the goal of this vipassana meditation. Yes, to reach this goal, or to achieve this goal of vipassana meditation, we start to be mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. Here, we should know a little bit of the differences between Samatha meditation and Vipassana meditation, so that we can have the right path to lead us to the cessation of suffering, or to live in peace and happiness. There are two types of meditation in Buddhism, as you know. One is a Samatha meditation, the other is Vipassana meditation. The purpose of Samatha meditation is to attain higher degree of concentration only, not to realize any mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. If it's possible to attain the psychic power or supernormal power, that is the purpose of Samatha meditation. The purpose of Vipassana meditation, unlike that of Samatha meditation, is to live in peace and happiness with the cessation of suffering. Through elimination of all mental defilements, by right understanding of three characteristics, by means of mindfulness and meditation or Vipassana meditation. So here we can say the purpose of the Samatha meditation is to take only deep concentration of a mind. The purpose of Vipassana meditation is to attain not only reasonable degree of concentration, but also realization of three characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena, thereby to uproot all mental defilements and attain the cessation of suffering. So here we know one point of a difference between the two types of meditation. Then another difference point is Samatha meditation takes only a single object of meditation, because it needs to concentrate the mind very deeply on a single object of meditation. So it takes only a single object of meditation. Vipassana meditation is unlike Samatha meditation. It takes many varieties of mental states and the physical processes as the object of meditation. It doesn't take only a single object of meditation. Why? Because a Vipassana meditator needs to rightly understand every mental state and physical processes which are predominantly arising at this moment. So he has many varieties of objects which are either mental states or physical processes. This is also one of the different points between Samatha and Vipassana. Then another different point is, because of Samatha meditator needs to concentrate the mind very deeply on a single object of meditation, whenever the mind goes out, wanders, or thinks about something else, he takes he brings the mind back to the object, focus it on it. He must not observe the mind, which is wandering or going, thinking, seeing something. As soon as he realizes that there is a thought, which is wandering or thinking, he must bring the mind back to the object and focus on it. But vipassana meditation, and vipassana meditation, contrary to the way of a samatha, meditator must not bring the mind back to the object when the mind wanders or goes out or thinks about something else. As soon as he realizes there's a mind which is wandering or thinking, imagining, or seeing mental picture, he must follow the mind and observe it, making mental note as wandering, wandering, thinking, thinking, imagining, imagining, seeing, seeing, and so on, until that wandering mind, thinking mind has disappeared. After it has disappeared, the noting mind will return to the primary object as you note as usual. This is also one of the different points between the two types of meditation. This point is very much important to notice. I will repeat, when a samatha meditator's mind goes out or wanders, thinks about something else, he should bring it back to the primary object and focus on it. Why? Because he needs to concentrate his mind very deeply on a single object of meditation. Vipassana meditator must not bring the mind back to the primary object when it goes out or wanders or thinks about something else. He must watch, or he must be mindful of it, he must be aware of it as it really occurs, making mental note, going out, wondering, wondering, thinking, thinking, imagining, imagining, and so on, until that wandering mind has disappeared. After it has disappeared, his noting mind will return to the primary object naturally and notes it as usual. And here we should know why vipassana meditator needs to watch or observe the thought which is wandering or thinking. Because this wandering mind, thinking mind, or thought is a mental state which has three characteristics: impermanent, suffering, impersonal nature. As any other mental states and physical processes. So to realize the impermanence of the thought, the suffering of the thought, the impersonal nature of the thought, he needs to observe that thought as long as the thought exists. Only after the thought has disappeared, his mind, noting mind, will return to the primary object, note as usual. Because he notes the thought or wandering mind, thinking mind, whenever it arises, then gradually the mind becomes more and more concentrated on the object of meditation. if we do not note or watch wonder mind, thinking mind, and so on, the mind can be concentrated more and more deeply. It goes on distracting, dispersing, dissipating. Only when a meditator can note or watch, observe the wandering mind, thinking mind, the mind gradually can be concentrated on any mental states or physical process. So this different point of the two types of meditation must be kept in mind, and meditator must not do vipassana meditation in the way of a practicing samatha meditation. I mean, whenever the mind goes out, he must not bring the mind back to the primary object. If he brings the mind back to the primary object, it means he practices vipassana meditation in the way of samatha meditation. So it's not right. So whenever the mind goes out and wanders, vipassana meditator must follow the mind and observe it, watch it, noting as it is, as thinking, thinking, wandering, wandering, seeing, seeing, and so on, until that wandering mind has disappeared. After it has disappeared, return to the primary object and note as usual. So, when we really understand the difference between the two types of meditation, samatha and vipassana meditation, we can correctly practice this vipassana meditation, which enables us to realize three characteristics, eliminate unbearable negative mental state, which are defilements, and leads us to the cessation of the suffering. Then here, we should know the principle of a vipassana meditation. The purpose of vipassana meditation is to realize or rightly understand any mental states or physical process which is predominantly arising in this moment as it really occurs. So the principle is to be mindful of, to be aware of whatever arises in our mind and body as it really occurs. In other words, any mental activities or physical activities which are arising and present must be aware of, must be mindful of, must be watched, must be observed as it really occurs. In another word, whatever mental states or physical processes may be arising in this moment must be noted, must be observed, must be mindful of as it really occurs. This is the principle. So vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation is very easy, very simple, and much effective in training one's own mind. So this is, as you know, mental training and mental development and mental culture. So this is a technique of a mindfulness meditation, vipassana meditation. Is simple, easy, but effective in the field of this mind training, mental development, and mental culture. This is the principle. If we rightly understand the principle, the technique is not difficult for us. Because whatever arises in our mind or body must be aware of, must be mindful of as it really occurs. That's all. And Vipassana meditation, a mindfulness meditation, there is no room for thinking, analyzing, intellectualizing, conceptualizing, logical reasoning, philosophical thinking. What you should do is to pay their attention to what is happening to your body and mind as it really occurs. That's all. When the bare attention becomes constant, continuous, and sustained, it enables meditator to train deep concentration, which is the cause of realization or right understanding of mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. So we need to have a continuous, constant and sustained mindfulness for some period of a time, say for 1 hour or 2 hours, or one morning or one afternoon or one evening, if it's possible the whole day. That's why we have to practice this meditation in three aspects of the practice. Walking, sitting, and awareness of daily activities. Walking and sitting meditation should be done alternately. Every sitting should be preceded by walking meditation. Because in the walking meditation, you have no point at all. The object of meditation, that is the movement of the foot, is distant to your mind to note or to observe it. So you can concentrate the mind well in a short time by walking meditation. When you are able to carry over the concentration you have done in walking meditation until you have settled down on your seat for sitting meditation, mindful of every movement and actions, being mindful of every movement and action, then your concentration in sitting about already good enough. Because between walking meditation and sitting meditation, your mindfulness is not disrupted. It becomes a continuous, constant. So the concentration also not disrupted. Then, in sitting meditation, you have already had some degree of concentration. Then you proceed with it. Then your concentration will be deeper and deeper in the sitting. So, every sitting meditation should be preceded by walking meditation. Except sitting and walking, all daily activities which are involved in your daily routine must be observed, must be mindful of, as it really occurs. This is called Sambhajanya Bhava in Pali. It's translated clear comprehension or fully awareness. This chapter, clear comprehension, is separately taught by the Buddha in his discourse of Mahasrikatana Sutra, because awareness of a daily activity is very much important, so much effective in attaining the insight and concentration that one can experience something new, unusual, while being aware of our daily activities and more and more detail. In this way, the mind becomes more and more purified through realization of these actions and movements and their true nature. So we have in this Satipatthana technique, we have three aspects of a practice: walking, sitting, and awareness of our daily activities. In this Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation, the most important factor is to observe, to note, to watch thoughts, wandering mind, thinking mind, or any other mental states such as anger, hatred, conceit, sadness, worry, sorrow, and so on. Whatever mental states or emotional states may be, must be observed, must be noted as it really is, so that we can realize three characteristics of these mental states and emotional states which are arising in this moment. The second important factor in this meditation is to be aware of, to be mindful of all actions and movements and our daily routine. And more detailed, slowing down all actions and movements as much as possible, training oneself to slow down his actions and movement. So we say the principle of mindfulness meditation, insight meditation, is to be aware of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. It's somewhat difficult for beginners to observe any mental state that arises in this moment. So, we have to give one of a physical process as the object of as the primary object of meditation, so the meditator can easily begin with it. So we have to instruct meditators to begin with the rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen. When the abdomen rises, you observe it, watch it precisely and closely, noting rising. When the abdomen falls, observe the falling movement of the abdomen, noting falling. In this way, you note rising, falling, rising, falling. This rising, falling movement is called kuchisya vata in the scriptures. Kuchi means abdomen. Siya means exist. Vata means wind or air. So kuchisya vata means the air that exists in the abdomen. It must be observed because it's a physical process which has three characteristics: impermanent, suffering, and personal nature. Because this air arises and then passes away, so it's impermanent. This air is the nature of a being oppressed by constant appearance and disappearance. So it's the suffering. This air is the process of a physical phenomenon. It's neither a person nor a being, neither a man nor a woman. So it has an impersonal nature. To realize impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of this air which exists in the abdomen, we have to observe it as it is. It really occurs. Whenever it rises, note it rising. Whenever it falls, note it falling. But this, the movement of this air in the abdomen is a cause to bind. Imbreathing or breathing. Imbreathing or breathing is the cause. The movement of the air existing in the abdomen is the primary object of meditation. So that meditator can observe it whenever there is no other mental state or physical process to observe, or to watch, to be mindful of. But if there is any other mental state or any other physical process, then you should observe it. You should observe that mental state. You should observe the physical process, leaving the abdominal movement alone. When that other mental state has disappeared, you return to the primary object, note as rise and fall. When the other physical process has disappeared, stopped, you return to the primary object, note as usual. When the other feeling or sensation has disappeared, you return to the primary object, note as usual. What I mean here is, the abdominal movement is not a single object of a vipassana meditation, but one of many varieties of mental states and physical processes of which are the object of meditation. It's not more important than the other mental states or physical process to realize. It's equally important to the other mental states and physical process. So it means because it's not only a single object of meditation, meditator must not cling to the primary object, that's the rise and fall movement. When there is another, the other mental states or physical process, he should observe it. Only after that other mental states or physical process has disappeared, then you return to the primary object, this rise and fall movement of the abdomen. So, you begin with rising movement and falling movement. When there is a thought, if you know, but in the beginning of the practice, you don't know, even though there are thoughts. You think you are observing the abdominal movement, the rising and falling. Later on, you come to realize the mind very often goes out, wonders, sometimes it thinks about something. Sometimes it sees mental pictures, sometimes it imagines something. When you realize that the mind goes out and wanders, as soon as you realize it, you observe it. You note it as going out, wandering, thinking, imagining, and so on. When you note the mental states of wandering mind, thinking mind, your noting should be more attentive, more energetic, and somehow quick, so that your noting mind becomes more and more powerful than the thought process. When the noting mind becomes more and more powerful, the thought process becomes weaker and weaker. Then, in a short time, it stops. Then the noting mind will come naturally to the primary object, rise and fall movement, and note as usual. That this point of practice is very much important. While you are contemplating the rise and fall movement of the abdomen, when you feel any pain, stiffening, itching, numbness, and so on, in any part of the body, you should leave rise and fall movement alone. and go to the point of the pain or stiffening itching, and observe it, note it, pain, 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 stiffening, stiffening, itchy, itchy, or numbness, and numbness, and so on, until that unpleasant physical sensation has subsided or disappeared. After it has subsided or disappeared, you return to the primary object. Note as usual, rising, falling, rising, falling. To observe the pain, stiffening, itching, or any other unpleasant physical sensation is not to make it disappear, not to make it go away, but to realize it and its true nature. So, meditator must not have any desire or wish to make this unpleasant physical sensation go away or disappear. He keeps in his mind that observing or being mindful of this pain or stiffening, itching, I can realize its impermanent suffering, impersonal nature. But when you note the pain, you should note it or observe it attentively, energetically. By being patient with it. Without patience, you can't observe this pain or stiffening itching. So, meditator must be patient with everything and everyone, or anything and anyone, especially with the painful sensation, stiffening or itching. Being patient with it, observing it attentively, precisely. Sometimes getting into the center of the pain with mindfulness. In this way, meditator can realize impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of this painful sensation. Realization of these three characteristics of any mental state or physical process enable a meditator to remove undesirable negative mental states or defilements or hindrances, which are the causes of the suffering. That's why we have to observe, have to watch, have to be mindful of as it really occurs, this pain or unpleasant physical sensation. Sometimes the pain becomes unbearable. Even though you have a great patience, the best quality of a meditator, then you want to change your position so that you can relieve of it. But if you are able to sit at least 30 minutes without changing position, after 30 minutes of sitting, if you feel or have a tendency or desire to change your position because of the severity of the pain, and this idea of the pain, you should not change the position, but you should get up and practice walking meditation, that's better. If you change your position or shift the position because of the pain, it becomes a bad habit in your meditation. Later on, even though you are concerned, your meditative experience is good with the deeper concentration and clear insight, you may feel to change the position because of that habit, that habit. So, that's why I said, to change the position should not be done. Better to get up and practice walking meditation if pain becomes unbearable. But you have to be patient with it as long as you could, observing it precisely and closely, so that you may have some experience and sight the pain or about the pain. When the pain has disappeared, You return to the primary object, rise and fall, and nurse to nurture as usual. In the same way, while you are contemplating rise and fall in movement, if you hear a loud sounds or a sharp sound of voice, you should not hearing. After that, you return to the primary object, not as usual. In this way, when you smell any bad smell, odor, or perfume, or scent, you note smelling, then return to the primary object. In this way, whatever be our mental state or physical process arises, it must be noted until it has disappeared. After it has disappeared, you return to the primary object, not as usual. This is sitting meditation. At the end of sitting, you should sit in a position which you feel is comfortable for you. But in Brahma, you know the Brahmic way of sitting is to place the two legs side by side without crossing one upon it. Say, one leg is placed outside the other legs and inside, so that you don't have any pressure, any short time. Because when you sit and cross legs position, one leg upon the other, so one leg presses the other leg, you got pain or numbness in a short time. When you place the two legs side by side, then you do not have any pressure, because the legs are not crossed upon one leg upon another. But in the way of the body is sitting, gradually your knee feels tense, or your thigh feels tense. When you are not yet accustomed to sit in that way, but the tension must be noted, tension or tense. But in the rest, you sit on a cushion. So, I think we need not say you should sit in the way of a Burmese sitting. But if you are cushion, if you do not use cushion, if you use a mat, say about 1 inch thick, then you can sit in Burmese way. You should try. When you get accustomed to sit in that way, then you know this is sitting. This way of sitting is very much effective for your concentration and insight too. The spine must be kept erect. You must not bend backward or forward. The head must be kept straight as the spine is done. So you have to close the eyes and the way of relaxation. Not too tight, not too legs up. Focus the mind on the abdominal movement. And when the abdomen rises, not rising, the force of no falling. The two hands should be placed in the left, one upon the other. The palm with the palm upward. But in the walking, you should stand still at the end of walking and not standing in posture, standing. When you make first left step, note left. When you make right step, note left, right. In the walking meditation, what you should observe is the movement of the foot. In the Pali text and also commentary to it, it's mentioned the mind should stay the movement of the foot all the time, observing each individual movement as much as possible. So the mind must not go to the other part of the body to the body or to the legs or to the diet or to the weight of the body, it mustn't go. It must stay the movement of the food all the time, observing each individual movement precisely and closely and attentively as much as possible. Because we want to realize the true characteristics of the movement of the food when our concentrations are good enough. Meditator must not look around here and there while he is walking. He should look at a place about 6 feet ahead of you, ahead of him, without looking on here, without looking nearer than that. If meditator looks nearer the six feet, he has to bend his head too low. So in a short time he feel tense on the neck, on the back. Sometimes he feel dizzy or headache. So he should not look at nearer than 6 feet. But the mind should be concentrated on the movement of the foot. The step should not be long. The step should be about a length of a foot, not longer than that, so that you can precisely and closely observe each individual movement of the foot. When you make a step, first of all you lift the foot, then you move it forward, then you drop it down. Each individual movement of the lifting, the pushing forward and the dropping down must be observed very precisely and closely. But it's not possible in the beginning. As the practice go on or proceed gradually, the mind becomes concentrated on the movement of the foot. Then you can perceive each individual movement of lifting, pushing forward and dropping very precisely. In the beginning of the practice, you should note left, right, slowly, not quickly. With about 30 minutes, then you continue to note lifting, dropping, about 30 minutes altogether, 1 hour. Walking, 1 hour, sitting, 1 hour, but sitting should be done as long as you could. Maybe you may sit 30 minutes in the beginning, or 40 minutes. Or 45 minutes, but walking should be 1 hour, not less than 1 hour. If you can walk 1.5 hours, it's a good in the beginning of the practice, is about the first 3 days or 4 days. Observing each movement of lifting, pushing forward, dropping. Yes, sometimes you may be able to observe 3 parts of the step, lifting part, pushing part, dropping part. Then you should know left and right about 15 minutes, then you should know lifting, pushing, dropping about 10 minutes. After that, you should continue to note 3 parts, lifting, pushing, dropping, lifting, pushing, dropping. Later on, you can increase the object of the meditation in the walking. But We can instruct you how many parts of the step should be noted in accordance with your experience and your ability to concentrate your mind on the movement of the foot. When you reach in this walking meditation, also your mind goes out, wanders, thinks about very often. If you know it, you should note thinking, wandering, then you will turn to your foot, note, lifting, pushing, dropping. But if the wandering mind keeps on going, you stop walking, no wandering mind, wandering, thinking, until it is stopped. When that is realized, you resume your walking, note, lifting, pushing, dropping, so on. In the beginning of the practice, you may have to stop often to note your mind, but do not be disappointed. Noting of the thought
is to realize it and it is true nature. The thought has its three characteristics. We have to note it to realize these three characteristics. But with the thought has disappeared, you resume your walking. When you reach the other end of the walking, you must not turn quickly. You should stand still there, noting standing posture. About 10 times, then you have the intention to turn the body. No turning, intending. When you turn the body, turning. When your face is in the direction you came, you again stand still. And no standing posture about 10 times. After that, you can break a note, lifting, pushing, rolling, or left, right, and so on. But your step should be slow. You should slow down it as much as possible, so that your mind can perceive the actual movement of the foot individually, precisely, closely. It's somewhat difficult for the beginner to slow down, but when you get accustomed to do that, you can do it easily, and then your concentration will become better. In this way, you should walk about 1 hour, then sit as long as you could. Then the other aspect of pradesa, that is awareness of the daily activity. When you stretch out your arms, you do it slowly. Deliberate slow. You have to train yourself to slow down all actions and movement so that you can observe each individual movement of the action and the movement. So when you stretch out your arms, you observe the stretching movement, slow down the stretching, noting stretching at least 10 times. When you bend it, you bend it very slowly, observing the bending movement of the arm, noting bending. When you sit down on the seat, observing each movement of a sitting down, noting, sitting, the movements, one after another, you will be able to realize it later on when the concentration is deep enough. When you get out of the front seat, you observe the getting up, noting, getting up, slowly. In this way, whatever actions or movements you should do, you must be aware of it as much as possible. The Baba is to realize the true nature of that actions and movements of which is done. While you are eating, while you are drinking, while you are dressing, while you are undressing, while you are taking breath, while you are preparing your bed, and so on, there are many, many actions and movements that you have to do. All these actions and movements are involved in these actions. Must be noted, must be observed as it really occurs. But in awareness of the daily activities, you need not pay much attention to wondering or thinking mind, imagining, and so on. Because in awareness of the daily activity, what you are concerned with is with the physical actions and movements, mainly. So when the mind goes out, you do not approach the mind, bring it back, enforce it on the actions, and observe the actions and the movement as much as possible. But sometimes there are maybe strong emotional states such as anger or sadness, worry, sorrow, arising while you are doing daily activity. But these strong emotional states must be noted until they have disappeared. Just noting as anger, angry, sad, and so on. Until they have disappeared. After they have disappeared, you observe the other actions and movements of which are doing now. So in this way, you have to practice this meditation and all three aspects as much as possible. Then when the concentration, mindfulness or awareness becomes a continuous and constant, the concentration will be better then you will be able to realize, or you will be able to experience something unusual which you haven't experienced before. That is the inside knowledge. It naturally arises, so the concentration becomes deeper and deeper with strong mindfulness, a powerful mindfulness. It's enough. The may all of you rightly understand the technique of a meditation and try your best to purify your mind and attain the cessation of the suffering. Sadhu. Yes, we have daily interview, but not tomorrow. Daily interview will start at the day after tomorrow. The interview list will be put on the wall on the board by the Onaga. Yes, I delete. You repeat after me. Panati Pada Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Adina Dana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Abrahmacharya Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Musawada Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Sura Miraya Madhya Pamadatana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Vikala Bhojana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Najya Kida Vadita Visuka Dasana Malaganda Vilepana Dharana Mandana Vibhusana Dhana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Ujjasayana Mahasayana Viramani Sikabadam Samadhyami Apamadena Sambadita. This is a Amabandhi. You should see in English translation later on. It's a great pleasure to meet all these pious meditators, who are keenly interested in meditation here in this retreat. Our retreat will last 10 days, as you know. So, today, this is the introduction talk. I will go to the practical aspect of meditation right away. In the following days, I will explain to you the theoretical aspects of meditation. Most of meditators are experienced meditators. There may be very few, or a couple of big beginners. So, this is, as you know, mindfulness meditation retreat. Vipassana meditation retreat. In this retreat, we will conduct the technique of meditation of a Mahasi tradition, which is expounded by the Buddha, as in his discourse of Mahasaripatthana Sutra, the four foundations of mindfulness. Then here, first of all, we should know what vipassana means. Vipassana is a combined word, a compound word. Vi is a one word, pasana is the other. Vi here means various characteristics. It refers to the three characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena, namely, anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta,
no soul, no self, and empathy.